That's Anthony Davis right there. You know, one of the things we've done this on a few different occasions. We've done this where LeBron will have a monster game, but we're talking about other players. Ah, look what this bench player did. This look what this role player did, and we do that because we got so accustomed to LeBron James just being great, night in, night out basis. LeBron James, there's no other way to put it. He's the king. He really, really is. Amazing what he's doing on a night-in, night-out basis. But I want to point out something on Anthony Davis real quick. That first half was awful. And I kind of started thinking in my head, all right, AD's getting into foul trouble. Giannis is getting the best of him. He's settling for jumpers. AD's got a lot to kind of learn before we get to the postseason. This was my thought process just watching the game. And look, it's great to see what he did against the Philadelphia 76ers this past game on Tuesday. It's the Philadelphia 76ers. They don't have Embiid. They don't have Ben Simmons. The bigger challenge is always going to be trying to do it against these big-time matchups. There's no better. I mean, think about the NBA right now. I did this with MT in the pregame show. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Anthony Davis going heads up. Tell me a better matchup that you want to see in the NBA than those two. I could only think of one, LeBron and Kawhi. That's it. Nothing else. So I thought tonight, him having that poor of a first half, not letting it affect his game, and then come back in the second half and play the way he did, be that aggressive, get to the free throw line, knock down free throws, play aggressive on defense. That was big time from AD. That really was. In 24 minutes of play, what I'm talking about in the second half, he only played 10 minutes in the first half. I think he ended up with, let's see what he ended up, total minutes on the game. AD ended up with 29 minutes, LeBron with 37. The reason, 8 more minutes for LeBron, just the foul trouble that Anthony Davis got himself into. Didn't panic, stayed calm, cool, and collective, came back in the second half and handled business. LeBron was absolutely the king tonight, no question about it. But I thought AD in the second half, that was big the way he reacted and big the way he came back and, you know, still became an impact player there in the final 24 minutes. If you're looking for the very best pre and post game, you got to go check out the incredible Hotel Figueroa at the corner of Fig and Olympic. They do $5 drafts on game day. Make it your pregame spot, your postgame spot. Make it your spot anytime you're out here in LA Live. Just 2 blocks away from Staples Center. Get out there on Sunday before the Lakers and the Clippers. Hotel Figueroa. All right, coming up next, we take your calls on the Sprint hotline, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. This is the Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Block of the Game is brought to you by Emergency Services Restoration, the leader in water damage restoration, sewage mitigation, and mold containment. Emergency Services Restoration, it's a slam dunk. Solid block there. If you guys remember that point of the game, Middleton thought he's going to have a wide open three, and out of nowhere comes Anthony Davis. Lakers, 4 blocks to 1 over the Bucks. How about steals? 11 steals for the Lakers tonight. 11 of them. I thought the Lakers were active on defense, and that's what you got to do, especially against a team like the Milwaukee Bucks. Can't let them get comfortable. You got the home crowd here. You got, obviously, I think it was built up to be a big-time game on a Friday night, and it lived up to those expectations. And I love the way the Lakers, you know, there were moments in that game they locked down on defense. If you look at each quarter, and this is, you know, I know this – a lot of variables to this, but I thought the Lakers, specifically in that third quarter, gave up just 28 points, which is actually, I mean, you'd like to be under 25, but they put up 39, and they have been struggling on offense for so long, so it's good to see the Lakers get into that rhythm in that third quarter. All right, time to go to the Sprint hotline. Visit your local Sprint store and find out how you can get $100 just for switching. Get a network built for unlimited at a great price at Sprint. Hurry in now through Sunday, March 8th, to learn more. That's now through March 8th at Sprint. Let's start things off. Phone number 877-710-ESPN. Let's start things off with Jesus in Pomona. You're on 710, or you're on the Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, Alan, how's it going?
Good, man.
So happy that the Lakers are back in.
We needed that. We needed that.
Yeah, it was great to see their defense, but man, they only shot 6. They only made 6 3-pointers.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't know if that's gonna take. That's gonna do it against the Clippers on Sunday. But
By the way, Jesus, probably not. You know, if you're shooting 19% from the 3-point line, 6 of 32 from the three. You know, that's a problem. I will say the one thing the Lakers, this is how they saved themselves tonight. They got to the free throw line 38 times at 31 of 38.
Yeah, but luckily we have that MVP, you know, LeBron James. He made it happen. He was a beast.
I was going to say.
He had a bunch
amazing.
Of defensive, you know, stops. And, you know, good thing Anthony was on top of all the rebounds. And, you know, hopefully Michael Thompson can throw some Caymus bottles, you know, to celebrate tonight. Even though I know he doesn't like playoff celebrations, only when, you know, the championships are in.
That's a great topic for the pregame show on Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you calling in. I think we know MT. I don't know if he's going to be throwing bottles out left and right like that. Speaking of LeBron, you talked about what he was doing defensively, three steals for LeBron. How about LeBron James? What are we supposed to say about LeBron James? Like, what are we supposed to say? There were times in tonight's game, I don't know, I just felt like he was controlling both sides of the ball. Right on one end, hitting tough layups, getting to the basket, getting to the free throw line, and then on the other end, I got Giannis. Don't worry about it. I got him. And his IQ, I mean, he's just so much smarter than anybody else on the basketball court. When you get to that age, you know, obviously you're just getting wiser and wiser about the game. But what his body's able to do, still have the ability to completely control the game on both sides of the court. It's absolutely amazing. It really is. It's absolutely amazing. Luke in Woodland Hills, you're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, Luke.
Hey, what's up, Alan? How's it going, man?
Good, man. Good. Appreciate the call.
Hey, so a couple things I wanted to mention. I was at the game, so number one, it was absolutely electric in there. It felt like a playoff game.
The best energy.
So sick.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the first quarter was so slow, it was sloppy, and the only guy, and you kind of mentioned it before, but Caruso just felt like the guy that was kind of playing fundamental basketball, just getting open shots. He wasn't rushing anything. You know, he was kind of playing off the ball pretty well. He looked like the only guy that kind of was playing with some smarts and not just kind of running all over the place.
Yeah, Luke, I feel like that's a good point. I felt like MT said this. He felt like the Lakers had some jitters or something in that first quarter, and Caruso looked like he was as comfortable as anybody on the court. Honestly, I thought in the first quarter you could make the argument that Caruso was playing better than anyone on the court, including LeBron and Anthony Davis.
100%. I mean, from being there, you could just tell he was the only guy that kind of felt like he was locked in. And then another thing, even though Giannis had, 29, 30 points, it was kind of a tough 30 for him to get. He was playing – he had to, really get those 30 points, but he was getting to the line a lot. We were playing tough on him. LeBron looked like he was 25 again, pushing up on this dude like he had all the energy in the world.
LeBron is, you know what's funny, Luke? I every time I see a game with LeBron, I'm like, oh, gosh, I mean, can't top this, can he? And then, you know, he does something else. But I'll tell you, look, we got a game coming up on Sunday that obviously I'm not too concerned what LeBron's going to do. I'm curious to see what all the other guys are going to do. But stay on the line here, Luke. Appreciate you calling in. Great points. Congratulations. You're tonight's Fantasy Springs Resort Casino best caller. Just a quick two-hour drive to the Palm Springs area for championship golf. World-class entertainment. 24-hour Vegas-style gaming, nightclubs, and hotel. Visit FantasySpringsResort.com to book today. Appreciate you calling in. That's what I'm talking about. You know, we feel good. Lakers get a nice win over the Bucks. 10-point victory. It's a Friday night. You're 48-13 on the season. Let's give away some Fantasy Springs. Okay, before I take any more calls, let's take a listen to head coach Frank Vogel, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet, on the Lakers' 10-point win against the Bucks. All right, one down, one to go. Let's just keep saying that until Sunday. Lakers take care of the Bucks. Got to take care of the Los Angeles Clippers coming up this Sunday. We still get a chance to hear from Kyle Kuzma, get his thoughts. I thought Kuz played really, really well off the bench today. And I know his numbers aren't going to show it, but I felt like the effort was there. I felt like he hit some big shots. Let's talk about Kuz when we come back. Also, we'll take more of your guys' phone calls. So if you guys want to be a part of the postgame show, 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is the Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Lakers over the Bucks, 113-103. 48-13 on the season. Good to get a win against the Bucks. Give Bucks credit, by the way. They're that's a fantastic team. They fight. They kind of dug themselves a hole there in the second half, but they kept kind of chipping away. But obviously the Lakers handled business there in that third quarter. That was the difference of the game. That third quarter, the difference of the game for the Lakers. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint, locally owned, manufactured, and operated. And with over 1,300 Vista Paint colors, your perfect paint expression is at Vista Paint right now. And don't forget, visit VistaPaint.com for your discount color sampler. Lakers 1 point in the paint, 50-46. So we'll take it. They won in the blocks. They won points in the paint. Took care of business from the free throw line. I think that's how I should have started the postgame show, just highlighting Lakers shooting 82% from the free throw line and taking 38 free throws. Got to have that. Let's take some more calls here. By the way, just a quick mention, and I know in tonight's game when you see Anthony Davis and you see LeBron James, you just see those performances, it's easy to kind of not really look at anybody else. Caruso, I thought, gave the Lakers some fantastic minutes. Kyle Kuzma struggled from the field, still got 11 points and 8 rebounds. And I thought defensively, I'm not saying he was a lockdown defender, but I thought it was good effort. I thought he stayed in front of some of the guys like Chris Middleton, Giannis even at times. Did he make some mistakes? He did, but I liked Kuzma's effort tonight. Markieff Morris came off, hit 5 straight points, I think, in that third quarter. That was big. JaVale McGee with 5 points, 3 steals, and 11 rebounds. Gotta love that from JaVale. Danny Green with 2 steals. Avery Bradley all over the place, throwing his body all over the place. You really, really do have a team that is willing to do anything to try and get some of these W's. And, you know, we know how important tonight was, and we know just how important the next game is going to be against the Los Angeles Clippers. Gus and Tustin, you're calling into the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, Gus.
Hey, first-time caller. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you calling. Call anytime.
I've been a Lakers season ticket holder for 35 years, and I just watched the game live tonight. So, I mean, if we take out the comparison sheet here between the Bucks and the Lakers, we just go from the top of the list down, and you have Antetokounmpo on one side, and you have LeBron, so they offset each other. So let's go down the list one more. You have AD versus a game changer. AD is a game changer. The Bucks don't have.
He's supposed to be. It's supposed to be Chris Middleton, which isn't. You know, I'm just saying, like, technically their second best player would be Middleton, and Middleton was awful tonight. 5 of 19, 2 of 10 from the 3-point line. But of course, there's no comparison with him and AD.
And then I'm gonna segue to your saying it's a crucial weekend. So one down and one to go. You know, let's go to the Clippers on Sunday. This Sunday, okay, Kawhi and LeBron offset each other, and here we go again. Hmm. Are you going to compare Paul George to AD? AD is a game changer. Paul George isn't.
I like it. You know, Gus, I like it. The only thing that I'm going to say is what it's going to come down to for the Lakers, too, Clippers know they can't hit you with the top two. They're going to try and hit you with the rest, right? They're going to try and hit you with Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell and Marcus Morris. They're going to try and hit you with this just incredible amount of depth which they have. But it's a great test for the Lakers. This is the barometer that you want. And if you're going to get to the NBA Finals this year, it's going to have to go through the Clippers and vice versa for them. They're going to have to go through the Lakers.
Absolutely, absolutely. There is no doubt about it. And this will carry over to the postseason. This is a statement the Lakers need to make, you know, for teams that are going to the postseason.
Appreciate you calling in, Gus. Call in anytime. Who should you call if you've been injured in an accident? You need to call the Wallace Firm. Why? Because Wallace wins. My guy, Brad Wallace, and the attorneys at the Wallace Firm will fight relentlessly to get you the compensation you deserve. And when Wallace wins, you win. Call the best in the business, 844-844-WINS, or go to wallacewins.com. No win, no fee. So Wallace can win for you. Let's hear from Kyle Kuzma real quick, and I'll take more of you guys' phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. But let's get Kuzma's thoughts. Here's a role player that I was referring to. Let's get his perspective on the Lakers' 10-point win.
Kuz, with tonight's win, you guys did clinch a playoff spot for the first time since 2013 for this franchise. What does that mean to you? How excited are you for that?
Super excited. You know, I've been here for 3 years, and my first 2 years it was kind of rough. A lot of L's and, you know, a lot of development and, you know, organization's done a great job of you know, bringing Anthony in and some other guys to allow us to compete for a playoff. So it's exciting.
When you think about how tonight went, you guys were tied up 48-all there at the break. What did you guys feel, see in that third quarter? You put together an 18-0 run, really opened up the game.
We just held it down defensively. We knew that, in order to win this game, our offense was going to have to carry us. And we didn't play our best offensively, but we got enough stops and not enough key baskets that really allowed us to pull out the win.
We, of course, are going to try and make this more than it is, just another win, or do you look at beating that team with the best record more significant than that?
It's more significant, for sure. They handed us our worst loss of the season, and for us to come back and fully strength and beat them, definitely a big game for us.
How you get the Celtics back, you get the Bucks back, and obviously you got the Clippers coming up on Sunday. How important do you think it is for sort of that mental edge of, we can't beat anyone. We literally have beaten everybody.
Well, it's huge. It's huge, especially for us to beat the Bucks and, laying the table for Sunday. We got our eyes on it, and we've been waiting for this game. So, took two tough losses to them, and play them again. So, every time we play one of the marquee teams, it's huge for us. So,
I like it. I like Kuz right there talking about this game coming up against the Clippers. I think Michael Thompson always says he hates when the players, they downplay some of these big games. Like, it's just another regular season game. He was doing it today in pregame. He's like, is this like the game against the Charlotte, the Hornets or something like that? Listen, we know that's not the case. And what goes on behind the scenes, 100% that LeBron and Anthony Davis and Rondo, some of these veterans, specifically Rondo and LeBron James, they're talking about this game against the Bucks. Talking about how important it is. Okay, they sent a message on their home floor. Let us send a message back. Then you got this game coming up on Sunday against the Clippers. I think it's the biggest game the Los Angeles Lakers will play all season long. Your teams are set. There's no more roster changes going to happen. Deion Waiters obviously now part of the Lakers. Markieff Morris is on your team. Marcus Morris is a part of their squad. Reports are saying Joakim Noah is going to join their team on a 10-day contract, see if he stays the whole year. It's a different game in March. This isn't December 25th. It's not Christmas. We are close to about a month away from the regular season ending. This game will definitely have significance, and it's going to have significance because the Lakers are 0-2 against the Clippers. So it's not like the Lakers are 2-0. The game's not as important to the Lakers. It's not like it's 1-1. I mean, you've got two opportunities. You lost both them to the Clippers. I think this means something, and I don't think for a second that those players, the coaching staff, and everybody involved in that organization doesn't think that that's a big game coming up on Sunday. All right, more of you guys' phone calls when we come back. And then also we'll hear from that guy LeBron James, who just had 37 points, 7 assists, 8 rebounds, 3 steals, 12 of 15 from the free throw line, 37 minutes, still the best player in the NBA. And that's not to take anything away from Giannis or anything like that, but I've got the privilege. I know Laker fans have had that too, to watch every game this year with LeBron. I still think he's the most valuable player. All right, we'll take more of your calls coming up next, too. Stay right here. This is the Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Congratulations to our Mobile Wash winner tonight, David Williams. There's no need to waste time at the car wash anymore. Mobile Wash brings the car wash to you in minutes with everything necessary to bring your car to a full shine. It's the only app that offers on-demand car washing services wherever you are in SoCal. Download Mobile Wash now and use promo ESPNLA to save. Make sure you use promo ESPNLA to save some money when you use their services. All right, let's take a couple quick calls here. Let's go to Jay in Valencia. Jay, you're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good, man.
The one thing that worried me about LeBron was late game, he would rely on the jump shot, especially the long fadeaway.
Yeah.
And I was worried about what that would look like against Kawhi, against Giannis, against some of these bigger players, what that would look like. And I'm so glad that he took very few of those jump shots, especially when Giannis was guarding him. I don't think he took any. And he took his, his game through the middle of the paint, one step, you know, strong move, and a couple of pump fakes, and was at the glass. If he can do that against Kawhi late game in the playoffs, mm-hmm. as opposed to relying on that fadeaway long jump shot, I think that's going to serve the Lakers well.
Well, Jay, this is what it comes down to, and I appreciate you calling. I think Lakers lost that second game on Christmas to the Clippers because LeBron was depending on that three-pointer and that jumper. Listen, if you're a defense and you got LeBron shooting a 23-footer or he's a step-back 22-footer, whatever the case is, you'll take that rather than LeBron getting to the basket. If LeBron gets to the basket, there's a good chance he's going to draw fouls. If he's going to draw fouls, team's got to be, you know, obviously much more strategic on, okay, which player's getting fouls. If he gets to the free throw line, now all of a sudden you're in the bonus and you might get AD now that gets to the line, shoots 85%. Lakers are much better off with LeBron taking the ball to the basket in some of these late game situations. I agree with you on that. They lost their last game because I think they depended on the outside shot too much. And hopefully that's not the case on Sunday against the Clippers. Just a reminder here, we shot 19% from the three-point line tonight. So it's not like we were hitting our threes, but we got to the free throw line. I thought that's what saved us. Brian in Valencia, you're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, Brian.
First-time caller. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course, man. Call anytime.
I just wanted to talk about Kuz.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he played good. I mean, his shot wasn't really falling, but he was controlled, and he had the energy, and you got to think about it. AD went out. And he kind of helped surge.
Agree.
He didn't fall off. He played good defense.
I agree with you. And I thought there were some times, you know, he just kind of stayed in front of the defender. Or as a defensive player, he stayed in front of the offensive player. And that's sometimes all you can ask for. Kuzma, I don't know if Kuzma knows how good he can be. Appreciate you calling in. I don't know how good he thinks, or I don't know how much he knows just the all-round game he could be if he just tries to do all the other things. It's not all about scoring, right? Grab some rebounds. He did that tonight for the Lakers. I think I counted. What do you have tonight? Rebounds for Kuzma. Had 8 boards tonight. There were a few different contributors for the Lakers that came in off the bench. I thought Kuz was one of those contributors. I'm not saying Kuz had an MVP night. I'm not saying the crowd was chanting, a standing ovation. I'm not saying that. But small little things. When Anthony Davis was off the floor, he was just one of those players that was stepping up. Kenny in Westminster, you're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
I wanted to ask since the Lakers either might face Memphis or New Orleans if the season ended in the next month, right?
Yep.
And would the Lakers would able to make it to the finals? Because the thing is that they're having trouble with the Clippers, you know. Like, just like back in 2010, the Lakers didn't want to play Portland, right? And they were lucky to just play Phoenix.
I'll say this, Kenny. I'm not too concerned who they play. The big matchup's going to be the Clippers. I'm sorry to cut you off there. I want to get to LeBron James. LBJ spoke inside the locker room, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet. Let's hear from the King. And get his thoughts on the Lakers' big-time win over the Bucks.
LeBron, Avery Bradley was saying he felt the tone change for the team in the second quarter when you picked up Giannis, and just wondering what your mindset was and how you thought they could push forward.
Well, I mean, my sidekick right here, he picked up a couple of early fouls, and, you know, it was my opportunity to just take the challenge, and I didn't want him to get another one, even though he ended up getting another one anyways. But just taking the challenge, man, and taking the responsibility on the defensive end, and that's what it all came down to.
We know you have the point guard role on the team now, and you're leading the league in assists, but the team is now 20-0 when you score at least 30. Is there anything about just being aggressive and how you've seen that filter out in different games?
No, it's just that's all. It's just predicated on how the defense is guarding me or what I see throughout the course of the game. I don't never predetermine what I'm going to do. Take the gaps when they're there. If I get a double team, I'm going to try to find the right man and not turn the ball over and kind of read and react.
Is there anything that you guys take away from this, just given how well Milwaukee's played throughout the season, anything that you might learn that you didn't know already at this point of the season?
We learn from every game that we've played this year, both wins and losses. You got to have a growth mindset, and you got to be able to grow in losses and be able to grow in wins as well and see things that you could have done better, things that you did well, or you can apply to the next game and things of that nature. So there's always a growth mindset for our ball club.
Building on the idea of you guarding Giannis tonight, Chris Paul did an interview a couple weeks ago with a friend of yours, and he said that guys don't guard the other guy in the league today. How much truth is there to that? Obviously, tonight, in tonight's circumstances, that's not true. And if it is true, why don't we see it more often?
I don't know. I mean, for me, I just take the challenge. I mean, you know, like I said, AD, I mean, Giannis starts at the four, you know, and a lot of times in our league, you get cross-matched, meaning like if Wes Matthews is going in a defensive end and we miss a shot, you know, I have to run back to a guy that's closest to me. You know, you get cross-matched if he's trying to run across the floor and trying to take a matchup. But, you know, what allowed me to kind of switch the matchup tonight was that, like I said, my all-star picked up two early fouls, and I couldn't afford him to get another foul because Giannis was going – he went downhill a couple of times and got AD, you know, out of position. But just taking the challenge and understanding that if I take the challenge, then the rest of us will take the challenge as well. You know, we all did that. It wasn't just me.
How much preparation did you do going in for the potential of guarding Giannis?
Same prep I do every game. I watch film on the opposing team. I watch their last two games on the way in here. Take me about an hour and 15 to get here on the game day. So it allowed me to kind of lock in on what they do best. But there's not any more preparation than I do for any ball club or any individual. Just always trying to have myself in position where if the matchup, you know, occurs, then I'm always ready for it because I'm prepared.
You're talking about the idea of taking on the challenge of defending Giannis, but when he was going up against you defensively, how were you approaching him in those circumstances? What, when Giannis was defending you in different ways, how were you approaching that matchup on the offensive end?
The same way I approach any matchup. I'm predetermined what I'm going to do offensively. If I have a one-on-one matchup, I try to, you know, exploit that, be aggressive. If a double come, then I know I got a 4-on-3 on the backside. Try not to turn the ball over and get a good shot.
Milwaukee's been leading the league in paint points against this season, I think around 38. Now, you were, I want to say, 9-for-9 in the paint. Was there anything you noticed about their coverages where you were able to get to the basket so often and finish?
Well, it starts with our bigs. Our bigs did a great job of screening, you know, trying to leave, you know, pressure on the ball for me and my defender. And then once I just kind of see a crack in the defense, I just try to read and react, and get into the lane. If I had a couple of times I got into the lane, they brought two to the ball. I was able to find AD on a lob. I was able to find JaVale on the dump off. He was able to, you know, make the layup. And then a couple of times I was able to find a lane for myself, you know, and just being aggressive.
LeBron, this is just two games, but how big is this weekend for you guys? Milwaukee tonight, Clippers on Sunday, just to kind of see where you guys are at.
I don't think we need a weekend to see where we are. We know who we are, but it's great competition. And to have an opportunity to compete at a high level versus, some of the great teams that we have in our league, that's fun and that's exciting. But we know who we are. We know what we're capable of. But we also can, be extremely excited about playing in great atmospheres. And tonight was a great atmosphere, and Sunday will be as well.
The totality of the third quarter, you guys had an 18-0 run at one point. You outscored them by 11 for the quarter. They have the best record in the NBA. Did you guys as a group in some ways reach a level that you haven't maybe gotten to yet this year?
I don't know. That's for you guys to talk about. That's for you guys to talk about. Our coaching staff put a great game plan together. We just try to execute that, try to not make no mistakes. We made a lot of mistakes in Milwaukee when we played them last time, and when you're playing against a great team, they will make you pay if you make mistakes. So we try to lower the mistakes. You're going to make some throughout the course of a game because it's a 48-minute game and you're playing against a great team. But if you can just lower the level of mistakes, then you get yourself put yourself in position to win a ball game, and we did that.
LeBron, you guys, with the victory today, clinched a playoff spot here, snapped that 6-year scoreless streak. Does that check a box for you, especially after the season went last year?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I came here to put this team and put this franchise back where they needed to be. The league is not what it is if the Lakers are not winning. And that was one of my responsibilities and one of my goals when I came here. And last year, when they would fulfill that, hurt me to my heart to go down December 25th with the groin injury that I had. Knock on wood. But, you know, I said congratulations to Kuz and AC for their first time. They'll be in the postseason. And it's just anytime throughout the course of a season, when you have little milestones, you're able to acknowledge that, and it's a good step in the direction for the franchise. So,
last two questions, please.
The last couple of weeks, you guys have been able to get wins back against really good opponents that have beaten you, Boston, Philly, tonight, obviously. How does the fact that you guys are sitting at 0-2 against the Clippers sit with you guys?
I mean, we have an opportunity to get better on Sunday because we know how well they've been playing as of late. They're in full strength. We're in full strength. And we look forward to the challenge to see how we can, you know, match up with them again. You know, the first game, we kind of threw that game out the window. It's the first game of the season. Who were we? Who were they? They had way more returning guys than we did. We were still trying to figure out ourselves. And then the Christmas Day game, we didn't play to our capabilities. We played great in the first half. In the second half, we let it kind of like get away from us. So we just look forward to see how if we can continue to play good basketball, no matter win, lose, or draw.
Bern, apparently the possibility has arisen of playing NBA games without fans in the arena just to be safe because of coronavirus. Have you thought about what that might be like?
Who?
Or,
who?
What?
Who what? We play games without the fans?
Yeah.
Like nah, it's impossible. I ain't playing. If I ain't got the fans in the crowd, that's what I play for. I play for my teammates, I play for the fans. That's what it's all about, so. If I show up to an arena and ain't no fans in there, I ain't playing. So they can do what they want to do.
All right, LeBron giving us a full scope of everything. LeBron was big time tonight. Big time tonight, and like I said earlier, one down, one to go. Lakers clinch a playoff berth first time in 6 years, so nice to see the Lakers obviously back in the postseason, but this isn't just about making the playoffs. This is a big run. This is about number 17, so that's obviously what we're all hoping for. Don't forget, this Sunday, 11 a.m. pregame show, Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers. That's going to be a fantastic matchup. Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., Dr. Clapper with the Weekend Warrior Show. Thank you to Adam Bronstein. Thank you to Rebecca Womble. Thank you to Curtis. Thank you to everybody here at the station did all the work behind the scenes. And everybody that tuned into the broadcast, this has been the Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.